It is my honor to present to you our first speaker, the great kahn, Tobias Hawkins.
Praise God. You may all be seated. It's an honor to get up before the called out ones in the house of Yahweh. It is a beautiful Sabbath. Well, every Sabbath is a beautiful Sabbath. What I'd like to talk about, my sermon today, is walking in Yahweh's way. And the steps we take, like Pastor was talking about last week, how long it's take, how long we've been doing this and overcoming, and how we've changed our character. So I'd like you to think about, I got a question. It says, what are some things that you think about when you hear the words walking in Yahweh's way? Is it being obedient? Is it blessings and curses? Is it setting a righteous example for others by our actions? Is it rejoicing in front of others? Or being taught by the last day's witness, Israel Hawkins? We all know that Yahweh sent Israel Hawkins to teach us. And he's made many books. And the one, the Sabbath book, it's a very great book. The Sabbath, and how he brings forth the teachings on the Sabbath, that no one in this world is teaching the Sabbath at this time. How to keep the Sabbath, how to observe the Sabbath the way Yahweh intended it to be. It's a positive law 154. It says, the seventh day of every week is Yahweh's Sabbath of rest and a holy convocation. It's Exodus 23:12. And we can see, just by the way Pastor brings the teachings on the Sabbath, how important the Sabbaths are. You know, it's the mark of Yahweh to us. And, you know, he's always bringing, you know, I have to bring more out on this Sabbath, you know. Now, we know a lot of people, you know, they say they keep the Sabbath day out in the world. But are they really keeping it, the Sabbath, the way Yahweh intended it? And the answer is no, because Yahweh said in Isaiah 41, or 44, 1, it says, Israel whom I have chosen, Israel whom I have appointed, and Israel, I have declared you are my witness. So he has declared, he's appointed, and he has chosen Israel to teach in these last days his message to bring to the world. And you can see that Yahweh has chosen Israel Hawkins to bring the message to the people of this world. He's being a servant to one another, you know, being a servant to one another on the Sabbath day, you know, cooking and preparing food, helping the people in the parking lot, helping the people at the door, getting the classrooms ready, getting the teachers for the classrooms, and having the students being ready to serve in whatever manner that you're asked to do. That is being a servant on the Sabbath and coming to the place that he has chosen in these last days in Abel, Texas. So you can see how Israel is guiding us in Yahweh's way. Without him, we would be walking with the gods. And we all were there before we heard about the house. We were walking among the gods. We were doing what we thought was right in our own eyes. We were among the people. But we are called out now. And he, you know, Yahweh has brought us this teacher to teach us. Yahweh has given us this greatest teacher in the world to guide us into his kingdom and to train us to choose righteousness and not evil. If you all turn over to Yochanan 13, It's on page 831 in the book of Yahweh. We're going to go over an example that Yahshua did for the disciples, verse 12 through 17. It says, after he had washed his feet, he put his tallit back on and sat down again. Then he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and leader, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Since I, your leader and teacher, have washed your feet, you are also bound in obligation to wash one another's feet." And you can see from this point, at this time, he's being a servant to his disciples, and what we are being taught and the example he is setting here to show that love to one another by what we do for each other and how we interact and how we what we do for one another. Verse 15, "For I have given you an example that you do as I have done for you." It says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the servant is not greater than his ruler, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sends him. If you understand these things, joyful are you when you do them." And that's one of the things that we need to remember when we're given instructions or we're doing stuff for others, if we're asked to do something, you know, remember, if you understand this, to be that servant, to do what you are called, what you are asked to do, then it will find joy. If you're not finding joy, then you need to evaluate yourself in the way you take that instruction and then use this example that Yeshua gave us, that Pastor gives us by his teachings, and change your character. Okay? We also must be teachers by righteous examples, not just here on a Sabbath, but at our homes or in the world. When we're out among, you know, the world, dealing with the business and stuff, or going shopping, we must conduct ourselves in a righteous manner. We need to have that righteous character, and they should be able to see that we are set apart. We are different than them. Okay? That's what we need to be set apart from the world. We're shown that in scriptures. Pastors brought it out, that we need to set ourselves apart, you know. And how do you do that? By studying, fasting, working in the work, tithing, and going to the classes, and learning how to change your character, to set that righteous example by your actions. And that's, you know, by changing our character from what we were when we were out in the world to a more righteous and loving person that finds joy and rejoice in the Sabbath. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 4, it's on page 150. Deuteronomy 4, verse 19 and 20. It says, "And when you look up to the sky and you see the sun, the moon, the star, and all the stars, all that is arranged in the heavens, do not be enticed to bow down to them and worship things. Yahweh has allowed it to all nations under heaven. But as for you, Yahweh has taken you and brought you out of the iron melting pot, out of Egypt, to be his people, his inheritance, as you now are this day." And we need to remember that he's taken us out from among the people, from the world, and brought us to his house to be trained, to be molded into his people, his character, to be able to walk in his way, to be like him. So to go back into the world and to follow the God worship of the world, we need to use the STOP acronym and think, and then proceed, stop, think, consider your options, and then proceed with the right choice before we make a wrong choice on our emotions, on what we, if we need more counseling on the matter, to get with your counselors and Kohans or Kohanas. Also, if you do go back into God worship and to go back into the world, if you do, you will be fighting for your freedom every day. And if you notice the armies, their big thing is we're fighting for freedom. Okay? If you listen to any of the Army, the Navy, anybody that, when 9/11 occurred, these people were willing to fight for their freedom. Well, Yahweh gives your free, all we have to do is be teachers of peace, and it will be freely given to us. Praise Yahweh. Enticed. The word enticed, it says to be attracted by arousing hope or desire. And I think it was like 3 weeks ago, Greg Con Levi, he talked about desires and unlawful desires. So you can see how Satan, how she is subtle in making sin out in the world be that desirable, being that way that people desire to be. And if you get that tape and listen to his sermon, it was a great sermon on how to overcome that. Luke, if you all turn over to Luke 4 on page 784, we're going to talk about how Satan tests Yeshua here. From 3 to 13. It says, "Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of Yahweh, command this stone that it to be made into bread.' And Yeshua answered her, saying, 'It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh.'" It says, "Then the devil took him up into the high mountains and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give to you, and the glory of them, because it has been given over to me, and to anyone I please, I can give it to. If only you worship me, all this will be yours.' But Yeshua answered and said to her, 'You get away from me, Satan, for it is written, Yahweh, your father, you must reverence, and him only you must serve.'" And we need to remember that when we're being tested and tried, that we must only serve Yahweh. Okay? "Then she brought him to Jerusalem and set him in the high place on the house of Yahweh grounds and said to him, 'If you are the Son of Yahweh, throw yourself down here, for it is written, he will give his malach charge concerning you to keep you from all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands so you will not strike your foot against a stone.' And Yeshua said to her, 'It is also said, you must not tempt Yahweh, your father.' So when the devil was exhausted every temptation, she departed from him for a season." And you can see Yeshua shows that all creation ought to only worship and serve Yahweh. You can see the pull that she has to entice you to worship her by the entertainment of this world, the glamour of Hollywood. So when she tempts you, you need to say, "Get away from me, Satan," just like it says in the scriptures, to get away from me, Satan. We need to keep that in our minds, and when we are tempted to, with the worldly entertainment, the worldly music, you know, set our mind in advance before we go into these stores that we have to go into. When you're dealing with the world, when you're praying in the morning, make sure that we are all praying, you know, three times and for the people. Make sure that we are doing the little things. The little things will keep you out of the kingdom also. So don't think it's just the big things. It's following the instructions, being in unity with Yahweh, hearing what the message is being brought forth, listening to that instructions that you're given, and following it, the whole instructions. And we'll get into how Shaul didn't follow his instructions. We need to stand up for righteousness and walk in Yahweh's way. We need to keep the worldly entertainment out of our lives. And how do we do that? By knowing Yahweh's laws and following the one sent by Yahweh to teach us his laws in these last days, Israel Hawkins. Now, here's some of these prohibitive laws that I wrote down. Law number 289, do not murder. Law 244, do not steal. Law 347, do not commit adultery. Law 251, do not take advantage of another or one another. Law 283, do not follow the crowd in doing evil. And you see that a lot today. Law 302, do not bear hatred for another, anyone. Law 320, do not work on the Sabbath. And the ones I wrote down are some of the ones that I thought that the worldly entertainment, they use these to promote sin, she uses these to promote her kingdom. You know, working on the Sabbath, taking advantage, murder, steal. All those are on the entertainment by Hollywood. So we need to remember these laws and not to fall into these traps that she sets before us in this entertainment. If I'll turn over to 1 Samuel on page 235, 1 Samuel 15. We're going to read 22 and 24 on page 235. It says, then Samuel said, back over to what this is about, and I think everybody knows, is about Samuel and Shaul. Samuel's getting instructions from Yahweh to give to Shaul to destroy a certain city. And he gave the instructions to destroy him, and then Shaul, he came back with the king and the best of the sheep, the ox, and the lamb here. He didn't follow the instructions that were given to him. You know, he went and did what he thought was best in his own eyes. You know, and you can see, we'll go, so we'll pick it up from here. Yahweh as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh. It says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Because rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is the same as iniquity and God worship, because you have rejected the word of Yahweh, he also has rejected you from being king. Then Shaul said to Samuel, I have sinned because I have transgressed the commandments of Yahweh and your words, because I was more afraid of the people, and I gave in to them. So you can see, you know, that the following of the crowd that he did, you know, the excuse he gave is because he was afraid of the people. And that's what we got to be mindful of, that we take account for our actions. We stop and think. If he would have stopped, if he would have used the acronym, if they would have had the acronym back then and used the stop acronym, you know, stop, think, consider your options and proceed with the right choice, you know, he would have been king, you know, because he would have been following the instructions that Samuel got from Yahweh to carry out his task. And that's how important it is that we listen and take the instructions from our supervisor, from pastor, from the Kohans, when we go to get counselor from the Kohanas. When we get that instruction, that we follow it for word, so we are blessed, so we're not cursed and the kingdom is taken away from us for one little thing that we didn't follow. Yeshua, on page 183, if you turn over to Yeshua, chapter 7. On 7, verse 19, it says, "My son, glorify Yahweh, Father of Israel, and give praise to him. Make confessions to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." We need to be careful that we do not hide anything from the priest. We are, you know, making our confessions. We are, you know, making that right choice. It's very important that we do that. On 1 Corinthians 13 on page 908, we're going to read verse 1 through 6. It says, Shaul coming with authority. It says, "This will be the third time that I come to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. I have already warned you when I was here, when I was with you the second time, and now being absent, I'm warning you again. To those who sin previously and to all the rest, when I come, I will not spare. Since you demand proof of the Messiah speaks through me, who is not weak towards you, but powerful among you, for those he has sanctified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of Yahweh, for we also are weak in him, but we will live with him by the power of Yahweh towards us." So we need to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith, testing yourself, using that STOP acronym, making sure that you're making that right decision, doing what you know. Do you know yourself that Yeshua is in you? Unless, of course, you are reprobate, have failed the test, or unworthy. And he says, "And I trust you will discover that you are not reprobate." And Pastor talked about that last week, you know, how far we've come, and he sees the growth in the house and how close we are to getting the unrighteous character out of our livelihood. Also, Pastor said, there's no more time to overcome. We need to repent. I heard that on one of the videos or one of the tapes. You know, we need to start repenting. He brought that out during feast. We need to start repenting immediately after we've, you know, realized that we've sinned. You know, get that, you know, do whatever we got to do to get that off of us. If you all turn over to Matithia 22 on page 750. We're going to talk about the greatest, the commandments 22:36-40, it says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the laws?" And Yeshua said to him, "You must love your father with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments hangs all the laws and the prophecies." So we need to remember that, to love, you know, Yahweh with all our heart, soul, and might, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if the world did that, you know, we would have peace. We wouldn't have this war and destruction. If we turn over to page 173, Deuteronomy 30, it says in verse 14, "The law is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it." And we got to remember, Pastor said, once you say something, you know, you can't take it back. It came out of your mouth. So we need to be mindful of that, that it's only the law that's coming out of our mouth, only righteous things that are coming out of our mouths, okay? Because that's what's in our heart, okay? It says, "See, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death and destruction, and that I have commanded you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, by keeping his laws, his statutes, his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land you have gone to possess." And let's skip down to 19. "I called heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are a free agent to make your own choices between righteousness and evil. Therefore, choose life so both you and your children may live. So you may love Yahweh your Father by listening to him and then obeying him, holding fast to him, for he is your life. He will also give you many years in the land he vows to give your father to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And where it says, "Choose life so both you and your children may live," we can see the importance of us setting that righteous example for the children, for that younger generation. Because we are teaching them by our example. If we are not changing our character and setting that righteous example, then we are failing. And we need to remember that. Everything that Pastor has been teaching us. If you turn over to Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, it's on page 152, it's a couple pages over. It says, "And you must teach them diligently to your children, and talk about them when you sit in your house, and when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." So everywhere you need to be teaching your children. He's saying you're teaching them by your example. You're not getting out the, well, they are getting the, you know, you need to sit down and teach them the scriptures, but you're also teaching them by your examples, by what comes, by how you interact with them. Hopefully we can see the importance of setting a righteous example for the younger generation, because we are teaching them tomorrow what by the way we are walking today. Okay, so remember that. We are teaching them tomorrow by the way we walk today. Okay? So praise Yahweh. I'd like to close right now and like to introduce the great. If you all please stand. I'd like to introduce the great Kahan Sefanya Owens. Thank you.
Well, everyone, the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have a lot of prophecy being fulfilled in the news today, and a lot of it really relates to this nuclear war that's about to start. But the first story is Leon Panetta. Basically, when you see Leon Panetta, you're looking at the Pope. In a lot of ways, remember, he's the Jesuit the pro-abortion, pro-sodomy Jesuit Catholic who's a professor of Santa Clara University, and he's supposed to be he's supposed to be in the kind of like the subjective military man. He's now the Secretary of Defense, and he used to be the head of the CIA, and he is making these moves against Syria and saying that they are going to use chemical weapons because they're moving them. But then we have an expert on Russia Today who is going to say that they're not moving them because they want to use them, they're moving them because they don't want the opposition to get them, which makes perfect sense. But they may also use them too, because people tend to use weapons when they're under attack. And they're acting as if this attack, as if it's a normal thing for the people to overthrow their government by violent means, and that the government should just give in to that. That's the way that the news is playing this story on the, what they call the regime, which is Assad. But you know, if that was to occur in the United States and the people would just decide to overthrow the government by military means, that would not be seen as legitimate, because it's not legitimate. It never has been in the past. And then we have the Dust Bowl story. Well, the other thing the expert gets into, which is really interesting, is he says their real target is Russia. And they're actually taking Syria as a strategic move in order to take over Russia. And they say, listen carefully to what this man says, but they're going to take over Russia from the inside. And they're doing it because NATO, which is Italy and the United States, it has a superior control of the media, which is this mass psychology that they're able to get the people on their side. But he's in agreement with what Malachi Martin said, which is how they do these things, by working from the inside, and their ultimate goal is Russia. And this is all, of course, leading up to this global thermonuclear war, which is prophesied. And then we have the Dust Bowl with the Ken Burns documentary. We've got about 6 minutes on that, which describes the Dust Bowl and how really horrible that was. And then we've got a story, which is today, which is the Mississippi River drying up, which is basically another Dust Bowl coming and in the works because of sin, because they never solved the Dust Bowl problem in the first place, because it wasn't caused by the things that they said it was caused by. So let's play the video. Everyone, please stand. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins!
Shalom, everyone! You may be seated. I think everybody's getting sore throats over here or something. I couldn't hear them. Our priests over here were drowning them out, I think. I don't know. I don't think you caught it on that. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. On the drought, Scott Pelley said it. That 62% of America now is under drought. About 30% of it, I believe, is severe. It's not over by any means. In fact, if you caught the Coast Guard's remarks there, these are some of the ones that are up in meteorology, and they're saying this is just the beginning. This is really going to get bad, he says. So he's showing it's bad now, but it's going to get worse. Of course, this is what the scripture shows too, along with the war. I wanted you to see that about the Dust Bowl. Now, we have a long, it's about 3 hours, and we're wondering how we're going to play it all, but you saw the beginning of it there and what it talks about. Yahweh said, he hid me. Well, you can pretty much see how he hid me. There were people leaving Oklahoma. It's like a caravan
going down the highway, as you'll be able to see in this long show that we got for you. But they left Oklahoma by a large margin, and then each time they would think about coming back, they would be something else. Now, those herds of grasshoppers that they talked about, and rabbits, jackrabbits, they didn't show the rats. They showed the herds of jackrabbits and how the farmers were trying to get rid of them. There's even eating the fence posts. So were the grasshoppers. Grasshoppers as thick as flies on a dead corpse. But the rats too. The rats. We had invasion of rats. When people start trying to come back, there's a big invasion of rats. You could look out in the yard at any time and see, you know, the cats wouldn't get near them. The cats was afraid of them. But they said you could look out in a yard any time and see, you know, the yard was just covered with rat. Same way with the grasshoppers. Before I forget it, again, I mentioned poems. Make them about prophecy or make them about what you're witnessing. If you just start witnessing this prophecy and making notes on it, the people from which this film was taken, the Dust Bowl, most of it or a lot of it came from a woman, a school teacher, which all of you are too, and she just made notes of different families and things she'd heard and read and so forth, and then turned it in as a book. The Grapes of Wrath was published first, just before she turned hers in, so hers wasn't published till now. And of course, I'm glad, because you'll get the full benefit of it now, knowing as deep as you are into the Scriptures, and knowing what's coming, knowing what Yahweh has told you, and believing Yahweh like you're supposed to, you'll get a great benefit out of this three-hour thing called the Dust Bowl, because it takes you right through the time that I was born and raised, and shows how Yahweh made a clearing for me to be protected from what the world is so deeply involved in today, the sickness and disease coming from the sexual sins. He protected me from all of that. He hid me from the world events that was the worldly character that was being displayed in every place but Oklahoma. They had other things to worry about in Oklahoma. They wasn't worried about getting a marijuana cigarette in Oklahoma. They was worried about getting the mud out of their mouth and nose and their lungs, and a lot of people died from it. They couldn't cough it up. The man said, in part of it, he said, there's no way you can exaggerate this horrible thing that took place for many, many years in Oklahoma. He said, you tell it, you could exaggerate it all you want to, it still wouldn't be enough to fully describe what took place there in that amount of years till Yahweh could get me trained in certain things and start me to work. Praise Yahweh. The poems, we can use them too for songs, which I would like a number of those. One more thing that wasn't mentioned was the school. Now, we mentioned the training for the missionary school, but I also would like a meteorologist in the house, especially the young people. If you're interested in it, then let us know, and we want to get the classes started really soon, men and women. They'll be on both held separately, of course, and because it's really necessary, knowing what you know now about the microorganisms, and you learn meteorology, you could put this thing together, and you could be able to answer even a smart aleck politician. You could answer him, but you could educate him at the same time. So it's very important that we get this, that you learn it. And I don't have time to teach it here, but we'll set up classes for it so you can learn it along with the scriptures each Sabbath. I don't know if they're going to set it up each Sabbath or not. That's left up to the teachers. But anyway, the men could see the great Kohan Eliyah Hyler, and the girls can see Tana, the great Kohana Tana Sheets Hawkins, and sign up for that if you're interested in both. That's for the missionary classes and the other classes, and they'll get you lined up for it. What Yahweh, I said last week, the reason what sets us apart, what sets the house of Yahweh apart from the rest of the world is that we believe the prophets. We believe what the prophets spoke and wrote, and we believe what the Savior spoke and what the disciples wrote about him. And if you don't believe, and you can't, and you're not doing enough studying to learn to believe, if you just do the studying, there's no way you could keep from believing. The prophecies, they line everything out. And what Yahweh wants you to do now and forever, he wants you to rely on him. And praise Yahweh. And of course, people want to go out on their own, you know, and this is what's got the world in such a mess right now. Instead of following the laws that Yahweh gave them, then they wanted to partake of and be like the gods. And of course, the gods was damned, and they just brought that into everyone's lives. And that's what you see today. And they're saying now that Russia is next on the list. Well, of course, if you remember, Malachi Martin mentioned all the nations that won't worship Mary. And of course, Russia has, in trying to hold on to their wealth, and China too, has refused to let the Catholic Church have what they want out of that wealth, and which is a large sum of money that they want from those nations. And those that are not worshiping Mary, as Malachi Martin put it, they're giving their money to another religious organization. That the other religious organizations are not of Yahweh either. The only place on the face of the earth that is going to be protected by Yahweh is his house, and that's what he shows us over and over. If you don't believe that, you know, you're going to keep your mind on worldly riches, or, you know, that's all almost impossible now. That flew out the window, too. But along with El Nino, it just suddenly disappeared. The people who think they can go out and get a job and rent them a house and start buying everything they see, you know, they get a great surprise when they get out there. There's families right now, the children are grown, you know, in their 20s, late 20s, some of them that I know. Their parents are wanting to get them out of their house. And I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about the world. The parents are wanting them to get out of the house, but the jobs they have, they can't rent a house on their own. They can't make any pay. The payments they're making, you know, is eating up their paycheck. They can't move from their parents. The parents have to support them while they support a job, while they support the corporations. That's the fix that the world is in right now. You need to put your finger to the calculator and your pencil to the paper, and start figuring these things up before you make an irrational move that you can't get out of. What I want you to do, I want you to believe Yahweh, and we're praise Yahweh. We are nearing a showdown, of course, because Satan don't want this thing to come through. Yahweh is going to allow her to do certain things, mainly for the testing of his people, the ones he's bringing out of the world. You know, I don't know if it ever really dawned on everyone, but the nuclear war, the nuclear baby, it gives the exact date to where those wars started. And Yahweh had me give those dates. And of course, we went ahead and published the book ahead of time. And then here come the newspaper's reports then later that we are now putting with the book, because people think the prophecy wasn't fulfilled, but it was. It's fulfilled exactly. on the very date, and then the war held back. And the news shows the strike right on the bank of the great Euphrates River, right on the bank of it, hitting a nuclear plant. The news also has the story about the general who single-handedly stopped the war, they said. Well, of course, we know it wasn't the general, but we know that it wasn't my one-year-old brother that squirted out the words, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. We know this was Yahweh because he said, I'm the one that named you. I'm the one that named you. It was Yahweh, as he spoke through the dumbass to a king and tried to get some sense into his head, it was Yahweh who fulfilled that prophecy, spoke through that one-year-old boy that couldn't talk for several years after that, but he gave the name loud and clear, Buffalo Bill Hawkins. It was Yahweh who spoke through his mouth, as he spoke through the mouth of the mule, and as he spoke out of the, that was different, the burning bush. I'm sorry, that was the lamp of Yahweh, and we're the seventh lamp. I hope you know that all that by now. But, well, the world doesn't. You know, they're still looking for that burning bush. They're still looking for Mount Sinai. Some of our people went up there. They got $1 million or billions of dollars coming. Yahweh said, just give me a minute. But a minute with Yahweh is, and you got to believe it all. That was a great commercial. But the point is, Yahweh, I've got to make you believe Yahweh, trust in Yahweh, so you won't go out, leave the house thinking there's a place of protection over there offered to you somewhere, and it looks better, it may look better, but the protection of Yahweh is the only thing that's going to get you through this mess that's coming. The ones that Yahweh will save out of this mess, there's not going to be any winners in this war, in the nuclear wars, there'll be no winners. The only ones that's going to survive is the ones that will turn to Yahweh, repent of all sins. You know, they can't just repent of adultery or fornication. They've got every law, as Jacob said, James, as the King James Version calls it, chapter 2, verse 10. If you break one law, you're guilty of breaking all laws. Now, he said, he who commits fornication If he doesn't commit fornication, but he murders, he's still broken the law. Or if he doesn't murder but commits fornication, he's still broken the law. You've got to repent of all sin. Sin is the breaking of the law. 1 John 3:4. If you let someone deceive you and you leave the house, you will stop keeping Yahweh's Sabbath. If you don't commit fornication and don't murder, but you break the Sabbath, you've still broken the law and you're guilty of death. And that is what you'll get. It's that simple. Now, to get you to believe that, you know, Yahweh has given you prophecy after prophecy and showed that those prophecies are coming true, one after another after another. There's one prophecy. I don't have time to bring it today, but I will. I think it was like 1,300 years in the doing, but it would have involved not only Yahshua's work, it would have wrecked it, but it would have involved the witnesses' work in these last days. It took 1,300 years and is finally fulfilled in 1,200 and something. AD is made back in, I think it's 587 BC, but it didn't come to pass until 1,200 and something AD, just a little while. That's not too far before I was born. And it would have affected the whole thing. But Yahweh said, I'm going to destroy you and you'll never be rebuilt. Well, it wasn't fully destroyed till 12-something. And people thought, you know, it didn't come to pass. Like the nuclear war didn't come to pass on that date. No, they'd have read the rest of it. They'd have known that Yahweh held it back. But He showed you in no uncertain terms, it started. He showed you he's holding it back. And you better believe that general, he might have inspired the general, but the general didn't hold back that war. Yahweh himself held back that war, as he said in Revelation 7. If you'll look over to Revelation 19, now, this shows you, of course, this chapter, as I mentioned last week, it shows you the fulfillment of Genesis 1:26. That's where it starts, right here. And the great house of Yahweh, the bride, the Lamb's wife, that we're going to present to Yahweh, we're going to show it and present it to Yahweh. That's our job. We're the ones that's going to resurrect it, bring it to light, and then we're all going to present ourselves to Yahweh in a fashion unbelievable. This is something you'll marvel about throughout all eternity. The great things that are, praise Yahweh. Anyway, let's get to work here on chapter 19, and verse 19. That'll make it easy for you to remember. 19:19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. Well, of course, if you know anything about this chapter, you know that he's talking about they're going to make war against the house of Yahweh. It shows Yahshua. Well, what is Yahshua? He's high priest over the house of Yahweh in these last days. So the beast, yes, she's going to make war. Well, that's what she's doing now. I told you years ago, these people, before Malachi Martin ever wrote the book, The Keys of This Blood, I told you these nations in the wars of the Middle East, I said these religions, they have some holiness. The Muslims, they are still following a lot of scriptures. But Satan is shown she's going to make war against every form of holiness. Now, the King James says holy people, but that's not it. It's every form of holiness that she is making war against. right now. It started after Malachi Martin's book. It started in Afghanistan. It started the nuclear war that Yahweh told us will actually kill so many people started, and is given the date of it in the book, the Nuclear Baby. You really need to get that book and read it. It's a lot of information there that some of it is still to take place. And very soon too, because we can see it all winding down now. But here he shows in Scripture, he's going to make war with them. The armies of the earth are gathered together to make war against him. This is Yahshua, who sat on the horse and against his army, which is his house of Yahweh, of course. They're not going to accept this readily. If you go over to Isaiah 4, in fact, you could just think of Isaiah 4:4. That'll make you easy to remember that one. Isaiah 4:4. It's actually 4:5, but think of 4:4. Isaiah 4:4, and remember what the war that is shown there against Yahshua, and we'll come back to that later. But Isaiah 4, notice verse 5 here. He says, Yahweh will create over every dwelling place. Now, of course, we got Mount Zion because that's what that's the way they put these words in. But that Mount Zion means create over the dwelling place of those who keep his laws. And every authority, Hebrew authority, shows you that's what the words Mount Zion means. Yahweh inspired Yahshua Messiah to say, Yahweh will not be worshipped in these hills or in Jerusalem. He will be worshipped in another nation. The work will be taken from you, and it will be taken to a Babylonian land not yet established. That Babylonian land, brethren, is the United States. In fact, it wasn't even discovered till 1492. That's what Columbus said. That's the official date. It was discovered before that, and it became a Babylonian land. What else could it become? A land of confusion. That's all it could become. Why? Because it didn't have the house of Yahweh to guide it. And that's something that's going to always be in the new world, where righteousness dwells. Righteousness? The righteousness of Yahweh. Looking for a new heaven and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. Don't forget that scripture. No evil is going to dwell there. No sodomite will dwell there. No murderers, no whoremongers, no nothing except righteousness. Those who practice the laws of Yahweh. Well, Yahweh will create over every dwelling place of those who keep Yahweh's laws, over those whom he gathers there, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all their glory, Yahweh will create a defense. Well, that glory that you're going to start experiencing is going to be brought forth very soon, because kings will bow to you, nations will come to you, the quartet will eventually repent and come to you, turn to you for guidance. But if you put this together with Revelations 19:19, they're going to make war against Yahshua, that is, against his house. Well, you can see how Yahweh has protected his house so far. If you put it all together and look at it all together, I told you before, I said, what are you going to do when I'm arrested and hauled off to jail? Will you run? I said. Nobody believed it. Well, many of you stayed, and of course you'll be in the kingdom for doing so, if you just bear with me all the way. In Isaiah, if you'll look back to verse 1, I'll catch you up on this. In that day, seven women will take hold of one man, saying, we will keep the feast, and we will provide the holy garments. Only let us be called by your name to take away our shame of being unmarried. Well, if you remember, the apostle explained this and is talking about, of course, congregations that's separated from the house, but they're going to be wanting to be a part of the house very, very soon. And this was all explained earlier, so you should remember this. And they will be wanting into the house of Yahweh. And of course, as Samuel, remember too, this is your instruction as to what to do in each one of these cases. If you're a missionary and out there working with one of these, they call and say, we want to be members of the house. Go to 1 Samuel 7, and he'll tell you exactly what to do. 1 Samuel, he was inspired to write that for you, believe it or not. If you truly want to turn to Yahweh with all your heart, then you're going to have to turn from all sin. That's what Samuel told these congregations in Israel who the Philistines was going to wipe out. Now, if you think of this huge army that's coming against Yahshua as those Philistines, and you tell these people, yes, Yahweh will protect you. He'll protect you from this nuclear war. That's nothing for him to protect you from nuclear war or anything else that man's created. Remember Yochanan 1:1, he says, nothing takes place without Yahweh's permission. When it comes to his house, and that 1,300-year prophecy that I told you about would have involved Yahweh's house. And Yahweh brought it to pass just like he said, and we'll get into it later, but keep it in mind. In that day will the branch. Now, of course, the world don't know what this is. The scholars don't know. They have struggled over it for years, they said, to find out who this man is. He's supposed to be a man that brings peace, that teaches peace to all nations. And of course, they just can't figure out. Maybe it was Cyrus. Well, Cyrus is long time dead and gone. Maybe it's the Christian church. No, they don't teach peace. They're teaching war, big time war. And it's getting worse every day. But the branch of Yahweh be beautiful. Will the branch of Yahweh be beautiful? We added the words brought to prominence. Well, that's true because Yahweh, the glory, is talking about up here. The glory, that is what you're going to be sharing in. There's nothing wrong with sharing in Yahweh's glory. Yahweh, Yahshua, inspired Yahshua to say, Yahweh gave him the power to resurrect the dead. So men would honor him as they honor Yahweh. You're Yahweh's children, and yes, he's going to glorify you, he says. He's going to gush over you with honor. Yes, it will be great, marvelous. You will be honored and glorified by all the planets one day, all the planets in the universe where there is life. That is Yahweh's plan. He's not going to allow this hatred to go on much longer. That's just for your trial. The glory that comes with this great job that you're going to have and the authority that you're going to have, if you buckle down to it, get in high gear, get your mind off of the world, come out of the world, Yahweh says. Start studying for this future that will benefit the house. that will benefit your position. Yes. Get involved in what I told you to. We got much more to get you involved in later, but these two things we're needing right now. We should have started studying them long ago. And the fruit of the earth will be excellent. Now, this is not speaking, this is speaking, yes, of the fruit, like apples and oranges, but it's speaking of people. The fruit that the tree of righteousness bears, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be excellent and comely for those who are escaped to the one who rules as Yahweh. The name there is Yisrael. The branch, as you see, the branch in the starting of that verse, he names the person, Yisrael. You see that? The branch. That's his name, Yisrael. Yahweh gave me that name too. And he said, this man is going to subscribe with his hand, and he will name himself Yisrael. Yahweh said, he didn't know it, but I did all this for him. I'm the one that brought this about, Yahweh speaking. You see how he uplifts? He's going to do you that way. He's going to do every one of us that way, even more so, 10,000 times more so than what you could ever imagine. You couldn't exaggerate this enough to get what Yahweh is going to do for you. Praise Yahweh. And it will come to pass that he who is left in of those who keep Yahweh's laws, and he who remains in among them will be called holy. Everyone who is written among the living, among those who keep Yahweh's laws. When Yahweh has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, that word daughters is children. The word Zion is he who keeps Yahweh's laws. So when if Yahweh had of called and made a decision on everyone, the time that I brought that prophecy and said, this is the date that Yahweh gives for the starting. Had Yahweh made a decision right then and took it, how many of us would be left in it? How many would have actually been chosen? You think about that. This is for your benefit. So, now read that for what it says. When Yahweh has washed away the filth of the children of those who keep Yahweh's laws and purged the blood from the midst of Jerusalem by spirit of judgment, and his judgment is as follows, and by the spirit of burning, that's nuclear war, this Malachi, Isaiah, all of them talked about this spirit of burning. Yahweh will create over every dwelling place this protection. Look on down to verse 6. Because there on, and we got Mount Zion, we added those words. If you just mark out or leave out the added words and read it. Because there will be, that's the next words, it's not added. Because there will be the house of Yahweh. For her, a place, on down, look on down to the next to the last line, a place of refuge, the house of Yahweh is a place of refuge for her, and for a covert from storms, that word there means, look on over to the end, and from rain. If you look on down to your reference, notice your little 2D there, and look down to 2D at the bottom of the page. Someone brought a sermon on this, verse 4-6, nuclear fallout. It will come down upon them as the rain from heaven. This is something he's protecting you from. He don't have to protect you from a shower of rain. maybe a lack of rain. They were saying on the farm report, the weatherman says, he said, is there any end to this drought? Because right now they stand at a critical time, the wheat, the bread baskets, they call it. It's critical right now. So they said, is there going to be any end to this drought? The man was frustrated, you could tell. He said, well, there'll be a couple of snowflakes here, a couple of drops of rain over here maybe. Now this is the way he's talking. But he says, none of it is going to be a big deal. Well, I called Stefania and I said, we've got to get this on, and we've got to get it on here about this drought, because man is bringing this on himself. He's brought it on himself. We're the only ones that's telling mankind what he has done to cause this. He's not going to repent. Yahweh's already said he won't repent of this. They will not repent. There's too much money in it. One of them dying every 19 minutes from prescription drugs. One out of every three got mental illness in the world. They haven't got sense enough to repent. We got the world being run by a bunch of intellectual idiots who are, their brains are so clogged up with bacteria and viruses that they have trouble even getting to work and back and doing their jobs. One of them resigned here recently and said, I can't get my medication. I can't get myself treated. One with mental illness. They call it bipolar. Well, we see the world is exactly what Yahweh said it would be, and that's my point. I want you to believe that. If you read Leviticus, the 18th chapter, Yahweh tells you what you're getting into when you get into the world with this. Our own government is saying, don't eat pork. No, they don't say don't eat pork, do they? But they tell you how filthy the stuff is. The scriptures tell you it will poison your brain. It will poison your mind. You'll be confused. It tells you don't defile your husband's bed. Don't let your husband's bed get defiled. You'll bring forth children that are idiots. That's what the whole world has done. Now, Yahweh showed you this, every bit of it. The thing to do is say, hey, I'm not nearly as smart as Yahweh. I can see that Yahweh is the most intelligent being in the universe. The more you study your scriptures, the more you will see that Yahweh is right on everything he says, every single word. Praise Yahweh. He's the only one that can give us the details of everything, years in advance. Here is this boy that's 1 year old. From the bowels of your mother, I made mention of your name. Now that prophecy, and the people and the scholars are saying, where is this person? Who is this person? He's got to tie in with this work. Well, if it look on down a little, his name is Yisrael. It gives it there. Yisrael. He will be working with Yahshua, and they give his name, Yahshua. And then what the translators do? They say he's the son of Yahweh, and they put Yazadek or Jezadek. But if you could just get them to study just a little, they'd see, hey, that's Yahweh. No, this is Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. Well, of course. Now, here's a branch, he says. Here's the branch You're wondering who this branch is? Listen, I'll tell you. Go to Zechariah, the 6th chapter, and you'll find the branch who branches out and builds what you call the temple. Put it back in its place. It's the house of Yahweh. There's only one legal house of Yahweh on the face of the whole earth today. There was only one that was given that name from the bowels of his mother. There ain't no way you can fake these prophecies. You know, these guys that came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey or into Abilene. They might have got it mixed up. I don't know. But they came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey saying, I'm Jesus. You know, they didn't even have the name right. Well, this is how confused the whole world is. There's only one place on the face of the earth that you can find the truth, the light. I saw this angel standing in the light. Well, what would that mean to you? Well, that's what Yahweh says. At that time, at the time they're going to make war against Joshua, there is a messenger of Yahweh that's standing in great light. And praise Yahweh. And Yahweh says, but they took it out. But I noticed the Amplified Bible has it. So they, you know, they're not all so ignorant that they won't put it back. And it says, I saw one single messenger. Standing in the light of the sun. Well, other prophecies now show you that that person, the light coming to that person, meaning knowledge, he's going to be quick to understand it. And he's going to bring forth Yahweh's word totally through the house of Yahweh. And that's the name of it. We'll get into all of this in detail. Maybe some of it in the kingdom. I don't know. But I'm getting to it as fast as I possibly can. A little each week. But we'll get it. But start thinking of these prophecies here. Nobody can fake these prophecies, brethren. He's given you all these details, minute details. About to get kicked off of the train in Germany? And Yahweh says, under duress, he will call himself that. He didn't rename himself. He said, under duress, he'll call himself by the name of Jacob. That's the other brother, the other witness. How in the world how could Isaiah know this was going to take place? Isaiah, he's the one that wrote this. He's the one that wrote, from the bowels of my mother, Yahweh spoke through my brother's name and gave him the name Buffalo Bill Hawkins. All of this he did for you to get you to trust him. Yes. And if you can just buckle down and take this foolishness out of your mind, this high legend that you got built for yourself out of your mind. You know, Romans, the first chapter of Romans describes these people. They thought they were wise in their own conceit. We have books, gobs of them, that you really need every bit of the information that's written in those books. You need to be studying every minute that you're not working. Yes, you got to work. You got to prove that you'll be a slave to Yahweh. Cursed. Remember this. Micaiah said, cursed is the person who is slothful with the job that is given him. So in the book 2, we saw the disciples waiting on tables. On the Sabbath day, by the way. Waiting on tables. This was a daily thing, waiting on tables. And they said, this is getting to be too much. You know I used to do that? Did you know I used to cook all the meals for the people in the house of Yahweh? I did. Cooked them. I was so pleased with myself because Yahweh had given me a job. It got to be too much for me. I couldn't handle it. You remember that, don't you? We got people who were back there. They remember these things. And they were back at the beginning of the house of Yahweh, the start of it. When Yahweh gave me a business in Abilene, I remember I started putting out a newsletter, and certain people were interested in this newsletter, and they came to see me. They were at Jacob's, when Jacob and his group came here to dedicate this work, they were at that first meeting at the homestead over there, and they're still here in the house. That's pretty many years ago. But the work, even though they wanted to start destroying it right then, health department started filing charges against us. They brought us into court, charged us with this and that. We're still here. We're still growing. One person high up in Washington said, they want to put that old man in prison and let him die. How did they know it away up in Washington? There's so many things taking place that Yahweh only could have inspired to be done that was done to protect his house. But it's going to get kind of outrageous in this end time. You're going to see similar to what Moshe went through when Yahweh brought up the work out of Egypt, led it out of Egypt. Well, there was a great protection, great things took place. None of it that couldn't be explained away, like the quail still flying in and giving people meat and the manna falling from heaven, it's still falling over there. I guess they say it is. I haven't been there to see it, but they say it is. It can all be explained away, so they don't have to believe. I believe it because it's written by the prophets. They witnessed everything. Now that brings us to something else. The scripture shows that it's got to be witnessed. What you're doing right now and what you should be doing, and this is what you should have your mind on, you should be making you some notes daily as to what you see and what's brought out on the news. These great things, if you would have started this a few years ago and kept record of the house of Yahweh, you could look back and see what a fool you are now for not believing. But we have it all in the books, and you need to start learning those books. You need to read as fast as you can. Go and read it twice if you have to, but get it in your mind. And be witnessing to what is taking place now, what we're bringing you that is going to take place. It's what's taking place right now and building to this time period when Yahweh is going to protect us with a pillar of fire. It's going to get that serious. It's going to get that serious because they will probably try to bomb us. There's no telling what they will try to do. But Yahweh says he's not going to allow his house. We'll see that in the next sermon. I think we'll get up to that part where Yahweh is himself. Yahweh is going to stand guard over you. He's got, praise Yahweh. He has Malachim right now protecting his house, his work. Now you can step outside of it, and this is a bad thing to do. You can step outside of this protection and you can get in trouble. By easily making yourself unclean and defiled, you could get in serious trouble, and a lot of people have. I remember after us bringing the information about this and saying, come out of the world. Of course, we didn't have some of the things we have now, delicious things, but we told them it'd be better to fast. It'd be better to do without than to go and put this stuff in your body. Well, they did. They're dead. You can't They can't start over again, you know, but they could have proved themselves right then by believing this. And you're still on trial right now. If you don't believe it, you could go ahead and go. You won't have the promise that you have from Yahweh out there in the world. You'll have the promise if you keep working for the house, if you keep working for Yahweh, learning your jobs for the future, building it up in your mind what you can do in the future. You know how many evangelists we're going to need in the future? Add it up. Take a calculator and bring this out. Bring a sermon on it. How many people was given over how many people in the camp of Yahweh? You got so many over 100, so many over 1,000, so many over 50. Now, divide 2 billion into those categories and see how many evangelists we're going to need. And you'll know why I want to start it now. I want to start the evangelist school. If we start an evangelist school right now, you'll be teaching very soon. In a few months, we can use you to teach others. Yes. And the main thing is to wipe away the filth of the children. Wipe away the filth. If you want to bring a few sermons on that, you could. The filth has been building for years. Every child has a defect. The people who get to be 30 years old and still living, many of them are dead by the time they get there, and a lot more look like they're going to die at that age. But this is wiping it away, bringing those people to healthy minds and healthy bodies. That's part of the job you're going to be doing, and you'll have power to actually bring it about one day. You'll have power to move mountains. That doesn't mean move mountains, but you could move a mountain too. As Yeshua said, you could make people to serve Yahweh out of stones if you wanted to, once you receive this great power that Yahweh wants to give you. We have a great future, brethren, ahead of us. If we could just train every minute for that future, just like you were going to study to get you a job. Look at the many years that people put in studying to get them a job. And after they go through all these years of study, spend all these thousands of dollars trying to get them an education, then the job is obsolete now. They don't need it. Nobody's buying that product anymore. So they go to work at McDonald's. Well, take this bun, take it apart like this, and set it on this grill like this. That's all I want you to do. Can you do that? I'll try. That's the future of the world. Even if it was better than that, even if you got a job, what would you have for a future? Yeshua said, if you gain the whole world and lose this opportunity that I'm giving you, you won't have nothing. You're going to lose it all. It's worthless. Yes, it's necessary to work. If you're working for the house, it's necessary to work. To leave the work of the house, you know, you're a fool. You're a fool if you don't believe what Yahshua has showed you. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!